And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our first keynote speaker and my very dear friend, Reverend Forrest Pritchett, Senior Advisor to the Provost on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Interim Director of Access, Director of Mental Health Program, and
another, or we have a faith tradition. And I would ask the question, what does that mean for you? Is it something that you simply do because your parents made you go to that church, that mosque, that synagogue? Or did they ever become real for you? Because that's going to be the bottom line of the story. Understanding the spiritual walk of African Americans. And I'm probably going to say the following. When you look at the totality of the experience of African Americans, and I'll say pre the Civil Rights Movement, what you will see is that everything for us as a spiritual experience does not occur within the walls of the house of faith. So here's the first point you may want to write down, students. For us, it's a lived experience. It's not an experience which is separated that you only do once a week. As a matter of fact, the Pew Institute has done studies on the religious experience of all Americans. They use many variables. One will be, let's say, religious attendance, and then they'll do religious participation, which means outside of going to the weekly service, are you involved in activities other days of the week with regard to your faith tradition? In that context, they point out to us that actually there is a qualitative difference between African Americans and non-African Americans, which is going to be most of you in the room. And that is to say that actually, on a scale, when you then put those two factors together, look at spirituality, you're going to find that African Americans, according to the Pew Institute, are more spiritual than all other groups of Americans, which simply means that their religious participation, they go to church in various faith houses, once again, all the faith traditions. But when it comes to doing work in the name of that faith outside of the weekly service, African Americans are more participatory. So make a note of that. Reverend Dr. Calvin Butts, up until like 2 months ago, was the pastor of the Abyssinian Baptist Church, a church which historically, when you come into the 20th century, early 1900s, a black Baptist church in Harlem, New York, happened to have been, at that point in time, the largest Protestant church in America. I didn't say largest black Protestant church. The largest Protestant church in America. Here's a trivia question for audience engagement. You may get a prize from the poor, or I get somebody. Who was the pastor of Abyssinian Baptist Church in 1900? This is tied into history. Trivia. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Okay, famous family in our history. Reverend Adam Clayton Powell Sr. All right, now just hold on to that for a moment because there is a Adam Clayton Powell Jr., his son, becomes the actual precursor to a man that everybody is familiar with, Martin Luther King Jr., who emerges on the scene in 1955. But did you know that in the 1940s, Reverend Adam Clayton Powell Jr., the son of the pastor of the church, had black women marching up and down the streets of 125th Street in Harlem? Because you could shop in those stores, but they would not employ you for the most part. So many people don't even know that you don't get a king without getting of power. So in one sense, we could probably also say that as now, Dr. Butts, who we funeralized just a few months ago, made the following comment when he reflected on the period of the 1960s. He said, in the black church, there is no sin, and in terms of religious formation among black folks, he said, next point for you all, there is no separation of the sacred and the secular, as mandated, if you would, in the nature of the republic that we live in. He said, for black folks, there's a fusion. One could conclude that there had not been that fusion over the hundreds of years that we've been here, maybe we would not have even survived. As a matter of fact, we actually have a different, we've taken the Bible, and we see it's functional to our needs, and we actually have even redefined or relabeled the word Bible. The acronym for us was B-I-B-L-E. For most of us, we interpret that to mean our basic instructions before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E. Our basic instructions before leaving Earth. Everybody got that? Because when asked, most of us probably say, the Bible is about helping us to live on this earth. We realize that also our faith journey is about not just living here, it's about where you go after you live here. So in that context, we should probably take a brief look at how Christianity is introduced to these people who come off of the African continent, millions and millions of people. And for those who may not be familiar with a condensed understanding of African enslavement, we need to understand that indeed before you even had Western civilizations, you had African empires, for which there are appropriate courses at the university to catch up on that in the history department and in Africana studies. When you look at the religious traditions of people of African descent on the continent, you're not going to see many, historically, you're not going to see many large buildings, because Africans believe that God created everything around us. God is in everything. So what are the four elements of all of life? The four elements are